Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries. We have an incredible show for you today on both shows. Today from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be interviewing Mike Patterson and his two wonderful friends from Canada. They've had live face-to-face communication and contact with Sasquatch, and will also be playing live audio recordings of conversations and messages that Mike and his friends have had with the Sasquatch. So this show should be really out of this world. But before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate all your beautiful help and support. I have a television program also called Out of This World TV that broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 here in the lower Seattle, Puget Sound, and Olympia area. It's also available on YouTube under either my name, Ted Marr, or Out of This World. There are now about 50 episodes available on YouTube, and you're welcome to join it. It's free, and I hope you enjoy it. But before we start the program, I'd like to play this music for my next announcement. Eric, is my wonderful producer, could you please play El Condor Pasa, please? This music sets the stage for my next announcement that I'll be going to Peru on January 23rd through February 7th. And if you'd like to come with me, the cost is only $350 per person in addition to airfare and accommodations. The airlines have been having a seat sale down to Peru, and so this is an excellent time to go. It's their summertime now. We'll be visiting Machu Picchu, Cusco, Lima, Lake Titicaca, and lots of incredible places, and it's a trip that you will not want to miss. When you land in Cusco, Cusco used to be the Inca Empire, the capital of the Inca Empire, and your vibrations go way up. It's a beautiful place. And Lake Titicaca also has entrances to the Hollow Earth, and I've been told exactly where to go in to the Hollow Earth at Machu Picchu, and I plan to take my group there as well. Lake Titicaca is an amazing place. It's south of Cusco, and it's where the Incas say that they came from, the fourth dimension, from the Agartha Empire. I also have been told where to enter the Hollow Earth in Lake Titicaca as well. So if you'd like to come along, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I hope you can come on this trip. I want to thank everyone's support so much for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I also want to thank everyone who's helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place, including Jan Rosinia, California, Anita Curtis from Dublin, and Marian Elias Neuschwanger from Costa Rica. I'd also like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including the Crystal Voyage Spiritual Center in Tacoma and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been signing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who I know are listening today and been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and KKNW, without help and support, whose help and support this program would not be possible. I firmly believe in the power of positive thought and prayers. So if you could, my friend Carol just lost her father recently. If you could please send lots of love and light to her and to her mother, Marge, to help them with the loss of their beautiful father. Also, if you could please send lots of love and light to Masako, Michiko Hayashi's mother in Japan, who had a stroke earlier this year, as well as Orion in Bend, Oregon, and my good friend Dr. Mount in Tacoma. I know that your positive thoughts have really helped them. I wanted to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your angelic guides and get some good advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. Before we go on to our guest today, I wanted to tell you that I'll be having my fourth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018, at the same location it was last year at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington. It's about an hour south of the Seattle airport, but you can also get here as well if you're coming from out of the area into Portland, Oregon, or Vancouver, Canada. Vancouver airfares sometimes are as low as 60 and 70% less than Seattle airfares, so it's definitely worth an option if you're flying in. If you register before the end of December, the registration will only be $147 for the entire three-day event. And after January 1st, the cost will be $197 to register. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition to that, on March 12th and 13th, we will also be having Hado sessions and demonstrations given by the famous Dr. Yoshi from Tokyo, along with Michiko Hayashi. They'll be demonstrating these awesome Hado vibrational machines. And if you're interested, please send me an email. Our speakers include for the conference Dr. Cairo Roca from the Bahamas, who's a famous naturopathic doctor. He's an expert in Buddhist healing techniques, including acupuncture, feng shui, homeopathy, and a lot of other alternative healing methods. He's quite well known, and I know you'll enjoy meeting him. In addition to that, Simon Parks will be giving a presentation. In addition, we'll also be having Robbie Holtz, who's a famous Australian Aboriginal healer. As well, we'll be showing Tetsushiro Tori's film on Edgar Casey on Saturday, March 10th. It's the first time this film has been shown anywhere. It's a brand new film by Tetsushiro Tori. He's a famous Japanese film producer in Japan, and I know you'll enjoy it. Coming out to introduce the film and Edgar Casey will be Sidney Kirkpatrick of the Edgar Casey Foundation, flying in from the East Coast. And I hope you could all come to this wonderful, wonderful event. I myself will also be giving a presentation on what I call messages from the masters, messages from our dear beloved Professor Albert Einstein, President Jack Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, the Galactic Alliance, Dr. Moto, and a host of other great spirits on our beautiful, bright future. And with that, what I'd like to do now is love to bring on my guests, Mike Patterson and Leanne, who've both had a lot of experience in talking to Sasquatch. Mike and Leanne, how are you today?
I'm very well, good. Thank you.
Oh, good. It's so nice to have you both on the air. They'll be staying with us. We have a lot of material to go over, as well as audios from Mike's recording of Sasquatch conversations he's had, which will be totally fascinating. A little bit about Mike's background. He was born in Ontario, Canada. And he's spent the last 10 years delving into the mystery of the Sasquatch. He started his life changed in 2008 when he met a Sasquatch. And I think I'm going to bring him on and tell you all about his amazing experience. Well, Mike, welcome to Out of This World Radio, and Leanne, welcome to the program too.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ted. I didn't meet a Sasquatch in 2008, but I did hear one vocalize really close.
So okay. Did he say something like, "Hey, Mike, how are you doing?" Or "Want to go out for a cup of coffee?" Or
it was three giant guttural whoops that when you hear something like that, there's no other thing it could be. It really resonates with you. What it is, and It's really a no-brainer, and their voice is huge, right? They filled the forest, and that's that moment right there that kind of put my life on another course.
Well, here you are, an ordinary guy. I'm not ordinary, of course, but just, you know, living your life in the third dimension here. And suddenly now you're hearing from the Sasquatch. You sent me, it's so nice of you, you sent me 6 audio clips. Let's start off the program with a bang, Mike, and let's play one of these clips. Which one would you like my producer, Eric, to play first?
I wrote them down here, so...
I've got a list of June 28, 2013, 6 July, 2 voices... let's see, 7 July.
You could do the May 10th, the first call there. There's actually, so this was a distant call. This is the second week after the vocalizations really picked up, after about 8 months of activity on this property that I was investigating at.
Okay.
And it was the beginning of May 2013 when they really started, you know, letting us hear their voices. So this would be
nice.
The second weekend in. And this call, you'll actually hear a little mimic, I guess you could call it, from a younger sibling, a much younger sibling, after the older one lets off a vocal in the distance there.
How fascinating. I'll make sure. Oh, by the way, this is Eric, my producer. I want to thank him so much. He does wonderful work, and I couldn't be on the air without his help. Eric, did you find that May 10th? Okay, he's got it. Let's go ahead and play that now, and then we'll come back. Right, we'll come right back to it. Let's play that one more time, if we can, Eric. Now, have you been able to communicate with them in a meaningful way? In other words, do you know what these sounds mean or what they're trying to express?
What I've learned about Sasquatch, they basically wear their heart on their sleeve. You know, I think a lot of people misconstrue or misunderstand some of their vocals, thinking they're being very aggressive and intimidating. Well, they may be, but, I have some vocalizations that if you'd heard them in the forest in real time, you'd probably crap your pants and run out of there and never want to go in the forest again. But all they're doing is just letting loose and having some fun, really. You know, they're
sure.
They're big, they're boisterous, and so is their behavior.
Right.
So, yeah, their vocalizations, they run the gamut of, it's just, you know, everything. They're extreme in their vocals. Their range is extreme, and they just—it's incredible, you know, to experience their voice up close. So.
Wow! Well, Leanne, what kind of interactions have you had with the Sasquatch?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on tonight, Ted. I really appreciate the opportunity to participate in this discussion and to tell some stories, so thank you.
Oh, it's great to have you here. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Well, I think my very first interaction that I'm conscious of happened back in 1988 when I was camping with some fellow staff members. I had many years of outdoor education. And one night I was awoken to hearing a large bipedal creature running around my tent, chasing a smaller creature.
Mm-hmm.
And I initially thought that it was one of my friends who was a large man, but then noticed that it was pitch black outside and there was no flashlight. And I put two and two together pretty quickly and realized that there was something very strange going on. I also heard these massive guttural breaths and grunts as this thing ran. And the ground literally shook as it was running around my tent. And so I had an experience similar to Mike in that my life changed pretty much in that instant.
Mm-hmm.
But because of my age and because I was, you know, had a difficult time really putting it together,
mm-hmm.
I didn't talk about it very much. And so I put it away, I shelved it, but I never really forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
Years passed, and I'd had, various interactions with, lots of interactions with nature and spending time in the outdoors. But I think the real event that changed my life happened about 6 summers ago, where I was berry picking at my near my cottage. And I'd been in this big bush for quite some time, picking these large berries. I was by myself, mm-hmm. and I'd weaseled my way into this really thick bush and had been there for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And after a few minutes of being in there, I hear this really deep guttural grunt and gruff. Mm-hmm. And I looked up and I saw a Sasquatch.
Wow.
And it could be nothing else. I had been in there for a while. I'd been making lots of noises. Couldn't have been a bear. It wasn't a moose. It wasn't a deer. And it either shook the bushes as it stepped away, or just in it stepping away, it shook the bushes. And I ran like the dickens. Mm-hmm. And but I got a good glimpse of it. Mm-hmm. And so I recognize that now, knowing what I've learned, that was probably a juvenile. Mm-hmm. And it changed my life in that instant. So mm-hmm. I became, you know, part of this journey of Sasquatch. I could never turn around. I couldn't unlive that moment. And so that's really when when my path began.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to
really
share
quite a gift.
Wow, that's amazing. I want to share this with you. I've been told, actually, Leanne and Mike, that there are four different kinds of Sasquatch. There's one who's human like us, but then have very fine fur all over their body. Then there are three other ones that get progressively hairier. And the one that's looks like us with fine fur over their body, they're called the ancient ones. And the ones that have you been able to see them, and what have they looked like?
Is that a question for me, sir?
Yeah, both of them. Both of you guys. Uh-huh. Yeah, both of you.
Go ahead, Leanne. By the way, I just want to mention Leanne and also John that's going to be coming on, too. They're we're all good friends, and you know, we all relate to each other, our experiences, and we're all basically local to each other. So we get together and mm-hmm. and talk about our experiences over some cold ones sometimes.
Uh-huh. Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful.
So
go ahead, Leanne.
So to answer your question, the one that I saw while berry picking was a little bit taller than me. I would estimate around 6 feet or so. Mm-hmm. Very dark. I didn't see their eyes, mm-hmm. but I saw the general shape. And as I ran away, I heard the bipedal footsteps. I saw it turn, and it was unmistakable. And it really was a turning point in my life. I could not, you know, it was a paradigm shift. And it was that experience, actually, that forced me to go back and re-examine the experience I had back as a teenager and begin talking about it. I'd had two very profound experiences that really shook the viewpoint of how I saw the universe. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful to have had them. But they certainly weren't easy experiences to initially have because of the emotion that they evoked during those moments. But mm-hmm. but I know that they were gifts, and I actually think that the second berry picking incident was sort of them giving me a little nudge, saying, "All right, Leanne, it's time for you to really become involved in this subject. Mm-hmm. We are here. You know that we are here. We let our presence known to you back in '88. You've been afraid to talk about it. You've been afraid to reach out. It's time for you to do so, and it's time for you to tell your story." So that's when I began to reach out to people and make some connections and start to talk about my profound experiences. So I don't know if that answered your question. I think you asked me what they look like. I just saw a very dark, hairy figure, like just your classic, mm-hmm. Sasquatch. I didn't see the facial features per se. But I certainly heard it walk away, and I saw the size, which was really quite something.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that, Leanne.
Thank you.
And Mike, what have you seen, by the way?
I've seen all sorts of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was given an opportunity back in 2012 to investigate a property, you know, which a lot of people are aware of, and I spent about 80 visits over 2.5 years.
Wow.
And the interactions just grew progressive, and it was constant and always, you know, it never slowed down. It just was gradually baby steps, you know, always increasing. Mm-hmm. And in that time, I experienced a lot of really strange stuff, which comes with anybody who gets that close to them. So there's, you know, it is a paradigm shift. It expands your consciousness, and you can't go back. So as far as visuals, my visuals have been minimum. We did have, there was me and I'll call him the cottage guy. We were sitting in the inside the cottage one day, and he's got his chair there, and he's always looking out the window, and his family's had that property for, I think it was roughly, it was over 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And so he, you know, he's well aware of everything on that property, and we're in the cottage, and he questioned basically a hairy tree standing about 150 feet away. So right uh-huh. there, we knew one of them was showing themselves, and we had an incident there. I had my video camera, binoculars, everything. I don't remember using any of it. And basically both our minds got wiped. And until the next visit, it all came flooding back for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really strange incident. Mm-hmm. But there has been visuals at that cottage. You know, his father had a clear visual outside the window. And the cottage guy did, too, outside the cottage window one day. Neftia showed himself. This new spot that I go to now, that's in the same area. I took my nephew in there one day, and we all of a sudden footsteps were heard, suddenly just appeared on the road, walking, and you know, and he grabbed a quick glance and saw a dark figure walking, and then as soon as he saw it, he said it disappeared. So there's a lot of strange stuff that comes with their activity. You know, so for me, as I mentioned, the visuals have been minimal, even though I've had physical contact, mm-hmm. you know, and still haven't got a good look.
Well, from what I know as a psychic, there are 12 different dimensions. We exist here in the third. The 12th dimension is where the supreme being or the creator, prime creator, God, if you will, who created all of this, exists, lives. And the Sasquatch are actually, I've been told, Leanne and Mike are interdimensional creatures who can go from various into different dimensions. And regarding their origins, I've heard two different stories, and I'd love to run them by you both. The first thing I heard was that they were actually very old race here. They've been here about 300,000 or 400,000 years, and they were here before the Atlanteans came here. The Atlanteans were about 200,000 years ago, and that's the first story I heard. And the second story I heard is that the Atlanteans actually helped create some of the Sasquatch by interbreeding their human genes with an ancient giant lemur, which is now extinct, giving that hairy appearance. And they created them because the Sasquatch are interdimensional. They can go into other dimensions and also disappear as well for their own safety. Later in the Atlantean civilization, I've heard that they were hunted down and actually killed. And that's the reason why, you know, millennia since that time, that they've gotten very used to being invisible. They can choose to be visible in this third dimension. They can flip off into the fourth or fifth dimensions and disappear in a hurry if they have to for safety.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard anyway, been told.
Mm-hmm.
And
as far as the invisibility goes and the interdimensional factor, you know, I'm well aware that they can visit us inside our homes,
mm-hmm.
wherever that may be. It could be in the middle of a major city. It doesn't matter. They can enter our homes and show their presence in whatever way they choose. They can do it visually or through physical contact or verbally, mm-hmm. or the games they choose to play. You know, they're very playful in nature, right? But it's those qualities that they show that lends support to this whole interdimensional assumption, I guess. You know, for lack of a better term, there's nothing else that I can come up with that I would say they are.
Well, Mike, when we spoke on the phone a couple days ago, you told me a couple of fascinating stories. I hope you don't mind me asking about it. One was where you were living, and your roommate, a Sasquatch, actually walked through the door in another dimension. And that story I'd love to hear. I'm sure my listeners would love to hear about. And the other one you told me, Mike, was about how the Sasquatch was playing, having games with you and having fun with you, where he put a marble or an object inside of this bottle, and you could hear the clink, and he did it interdimensionally. But I'd love to have you share those stories. That would be great.
The first story there is a good friend of mine, Kyle. I've known him for over 2 decades, and I had moved in with him briefly. I was in transition, and I told him, you know, he was well aware of, you know, what I had going on. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he's still skeptical, even though he knows my character. You know, I'm a non-BS kind of guy. But I told him, I said, when I moved in there, I said, hey, you know, some strange stuff might start happening here. And he's pretty easygoing, so he just kind of laughed it off. And,
sure.
And the first thing they did was one night they rifled his wallet, pulled his credit cards and stuff out, shoved them back in. And the next day he told me, he goes, you know, something rifled my wallet. And, you know, there's nobody else in the house. So I said out loud, I said, you know, thanks, guys. Because what's he going to think, right? There's nobody else there. So, you know, what's Mike up to kind of thing. And it was 3 weeks later that they left him I was out of the house, and there was snow on the ground. They left him a single footprint right where he goes for a cigarette outside. And he called me up on the phone, and he was all excited, and he told me, you know, and I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, finally you're, you know, showing him something so he doesn't think I'm nuts. Mm-hmm. And after that, you know, things really, they really started to show him their presence. They gave him physical contact on his face. Mm-hmm. They gave him telepathy. They called his name twice in one night, within half an hour. And these things, he said, I've never experienced anything like this in my life. He was blown away. Mm-hmm. And then there was one. He was downstairs. He's got a bar down there. So he's standing behind the bar watching the TV across the room. And I was upstairs. And it still took him half an hour to come upstairs and tell me this. He was downstairs. And he said a Sasquatch, you know, floor to ceiling, he could see through it, walked through the closed door across the room in front of him and out through the wall. And so they had given him, you know, I'd never even gotten anything like that. And then they were doing other things, you know, flipping all his cigarettes upside down in his pack and, you know, just being funny. And I'd even experienced vocalizations in the house. And so there was a lot that went on in there. And by the time I left, you know, his mind was fully expanded, and that's it. You can't turn that off. So,
mm-hmm.
As far as the other incident went, that was my last visit at that cottage where I was documenting NFT and family. So that was March 20th, 2015,
mm-hmm.
And I was working on always doing things, playing games with them. And so I had this idea of Sasquatch like to show sign of their presence. So they're always leaving objects.
Mm-hmm.
You could turn your head and then turn back a second later, and there could be an object sitting there, and you're, you know, how the hell did that get there? Mm-hmm. So they're very big with that, to show their sign of their presence. And with Nefertia, he used marbles.
Oh.
And over the course of the roughly 80 visits, we ended up with about 1,000 of them. So
1,000 marbles?
Roughly.
How
between,
funny.
Between
wow.
us all, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they would, so the around my end visits there, I had the idea of, you know, getting a big marble inside of a bottle. One that couldn't come out, you know, that ship in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So I told Nefertia what I wanted, you know, I made it clear. And first he started with, I turned my head and turned back, and, I'm having a beer, and they're sitting on a table, and I turned back, and there's a big marble sitting on top of the beer, on top of the neck.
Oh, how funny.
And I just kind of laugh, and he likes to mess with me, right? So, this is just how they are typically. It's part of their behavior, their nature with everyone that they interact with, at this level.
Sure.
This is from my experience and from what I've learned through others.
Uh-huh.
So after that, a small marble ended up inside a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another incident where I was sitting there at the table, and I'm talking to the cottage guy. He's sitting there, too, across from me. And, I'm having a beer, and it's in my hand. It's elevated off the table. It's probably about half finished. And all of a sudden, I hear clink, and we looked at each other, and I said, no way. And I held the bottle up, and sure enough, I can see a marble in the bottom. And I was consciously aware enough to know that there was no splash sound,
mm-hmm.
which if it was dropped from the top, it should have gone, splash or kerplunk, clink, something
sure.
like that,
sure.
not just clink.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm quite convinced that he materialized that inside the bottle.
Hmm.
But this is the game he was playing. And eventually, I think if I was there long enough, I would have got that. But mm-hmm. that ended up being my last visit. So, but yeah, marbles, there was another incident where we were sitting in the chair. The other guy sitting beside me, and I got my hands, clasped just in my lap. And I put an image in my mind of a marble dropping into my hand. And it happens instantly. Like, it's, they can basically read your thoughts, but it's like they know what you're going to think. So it seems like the whole interdimensional factor of the future, the past, present, and future, that everything mm-hmm. is now.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't seem to be a division between any of it. And I actually, I had a realization today, too, with another friend of mine who I had gone to visit a place in California, and she was given a message. She'd asked, if we're safe, and she got a message about a great fire coming.
Mm-hmm.
And
from the Sasquatch?
And now, yeah.
From the Sasquatch?
And now I look at California, and this was a couple years back. So, it makes me wonder how far ahead they can actually see, right? So
well, if
this
they're,
whole,
pardon me for interrupting, Mike, but if they're interdimensional beings, they can go into the fifth dimension where everything is now, everything is happening now, and there's no past, present, or future. That's where this planet,
mm-hmm.
I think, is headed for. And a good psychic go into the fifth dimension, as well
yeah.
as a good remote viewer, and the Sasquatch. That's fascinating she talked about that. I was going to talk a little bit about that on the first of my next hour, about that, to ask everyone to send prayers to the people of California who've been suffering from the horrendous devastation from the fires down there. One thing quickly, from the videos I've seen on the YouTube, many of those fires are not natural. And some
yeah,
of them,
I see that.
Have been started by lasers being shot from above the atmosphere. I've seen the YouTubes, and they see these strange blue-lighted lasers coming down, and then a poof, a fire starts. And then there's other pictures in these YouTube videos of entire housing divisions in Southern California around Los Angeles and San Diego where all the homes, Mike and Leanne, have been zapped. They're destroyed. They're just incinerated. But all the trees and vegetation around the homes is there.
I've seen it.
And
yeah.
also,
even the stones are gone, Like,
right.
how does that happen?
Yeah, the stones are gone. And even the bumpers off cars have been melted.
Right. Wow.
And that can only happen with particle beams and laser beams. Now, U.S. government has had a lot of advanced technology thanks to their actions with the reptilians for many decades. And I've been told that in the secret space program, they have these weapons. And if, in fact, they're using it against our own people, then the American public and the world needs to take a very close look at these fires and ask what the heck's going on. And because What government would sanction this kind of activity to intentionally hurt people with these fires? But that's what I've seen on YouTube. Don't know if it's true or not, but I wanted to let you know.
I just want to mention three words: industrial military complex, and we've been warned about them. Right,
right. Well, I'll be having a little segment on that next hour, and also be bringing in President Kennedy, who had some words to say about that too. But we'll get to that in about 20 minutes. Have they been able to you know, the planet has a lot of problems, Mike and Leanne,
yeah.
And so the purpose of my program is to try to make this place try to raise consciousness,
yeah,
to make this planet a better place.
Yeah.
Have the Sasquatch given you messages about how we can do that?
Well,
go ahead, Leanne.
Absolutely. An overarching lesson that I continue to learn and feel really deeply in my heart is that Sasquatch are truly coming out of the woodwork and waking people up, are igniting consciousnesses, you know, sparks all over the world. People are waking up to their presence. And I agree with you. My soul deeply intuitively feels that they have always been here, that they may be one of, if not the oldest, souls on the planet, and they are the history books. They are our true history that has been suppressed from all of us for so many years, and they know what we're under as humans. They know that we are under constant attack from the air, whether it be in chemtrails or fluoride in our toothpaste or vaccines or these crazy fires in California. To, you know, who knows what they put in our water, what we put on our skin. There appears to be, and Mike and I talk a lot about this, an attempt to keep humans unaware of our true heritage, the potential of our consciousness, our lineage, our the real history of the earth. And I feel in my heart from my learning and connecting with other people that Sasquatch really needs us to wake up and wants us to wake up. And so part of my journey of, you know, going through the past few years of my lessons and teaching has been also finding other like-minded and like-souled, like-evolved people to connect with and share not just Sasquatch lessons, but also to bond and to find your pack, to find your team, and to be stronger together. And I think that they need us to do that. They want us to do that. They want us to be in our full capacity because we can be. We can be more awake and more aware of all all the challenges that we face every day from so many different places, right? Just, and you know, from the cell phone towers and what's pounded out of our TV sets. Like, you know, the list just goes on. And so I think it's a combination of needing us to find each other, to connect with each other on a soul level, to remember where we really do come from and the potential of our souls, and also to remember to honor the earth and reconnect with the earth and help fuel energy and love and forgiveness and joy back into ourselves, into each other, and into the earth. And I know Mike and I talk a lot about this, how the Sasquatch has such a sense of humor. And I've learned that through doing audio over the past couple of years. And Mike has really been my teacher and taught me so much about, you know, how to, you know, interpret sounds. And that's a whole other, you know, different arm of our conversation. But the one thing that I keep discovering, and I know Mike has, is that Sasquatch are funny. They have such a sense of humor, and they it's like they are modeling joy, modeling connection, modeling interdimensionality, like that we are, I think, are also capable of. Yet we've forgotten over the course of our, you know, evolution and our indoctrination, and I think that they're really wanting us. And reaching out to specific people to talk more about it in order to help others awaken themselves as well. So,
you know what happened while you were talking?
What's that?
This entire studio lit up in this beautiful angelic light. So they really like what both of you and Mike are saying. It's just happened. It always happens when we have guests on and that they really like, and they'll just come in. And you can tell. I keep telling my radio station that if they wanted to save electricity, just have more angels down here at the program. They could turn off the lights and just bring angelic light for everything. But I wanted to tell you to share this with you, that the Galactic Alliance, who I've been in contact with the last about 3 years, two, 3 years now, is that says that this planet, this Earth, has been the laggard planet in our 10, 11 planet solar system. And actually, they say there's 40 different planets in all the other dimensions in this solar system, in this part of the galaxy. And Earth, this third dimensional Earth, is the one who's been the laggard. And other planets have shifted into the higher dimensions, but they've been waiting for us to catch up, for you and me, for people to wake up. And that's the purpose of my show, and I appreciate you being on here to try to raise consciousness. But that's and so finally Gaia, planet Earth, is a living entity, and she decided in September of 2016 and says, heck with you guys, heck with you humans, I'm going to start evolving anyway, and if you want to come along with me, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. That's when the frequencies of the planet really started shifting. It's called the Schumann Resonance back in September 2016. And the other message I got, too, is from John F. Kennedy, who I'll be bringing on in a few minutes for some other messages. He said that we are all one, and we definitely need to wake up. But the planet is waking up, and that's the beautiful thing. And I was just having lunch with a friend of mine earlier today from the station here, and I said to him, he asked me about the future, and I said, look, there's not going to be a nuclear war. We're not going to have, sure, we'll have difficulties to go through and challenges, but it's not going to be the end of the world. This is a different time now. The Third World War, which was scheduled to Third World War was supposed to start in 1992 when President Clinton gave ground support to the Muslims in Bosnia, and that was supposed to start the track for a Third World War with the Islamic states in the Middle East, and it never happened because people's consciousness has been raised, and we are all one. And Jack Kennedy told me a month ago or 2 months ago, he said that if you could see where I am in the fifth dimension and looking down from outer space, looking at the planet, there's all this beautiful light now that's come around the planet, and the entire planet now is rising, and it's getting higher and higher in its frequency and some vibration. And that's all of us. What's different from his administration, what he tried to do in the early 60s and now, is that those changes were coming from the top down, from his administration down to the people. But now, because it's our destiny to evolve into a much higher vibrational planet and a more beautiful planet, and a peaceful planet based on love and mutual understanding, that change now is coming from the bottom up. And that's something that the negative entities cannot stop. We're just too many people. I'll never forget, there was I think I've mentioned this before, but back in Denmark in 1942, the Nazis there tried to force all the school teachers, elementary school teachers in Denmark, to teach Nazi doctrine to the little kids. And every single teacher refused. And not one teacher went to a concentration camp because there were too many of them. And it's like there's too many on this planet now who are waking up, and they realize what the truth, and they realize we all want a better planet without war and without conflict. And we are, in fact, all one. We all have that spark of the Creator within us. If you hurt somebody or you attack another country, you're actually attacking yourself because all of us are interconnected. And right. I think that's the message, the beautiful message you just gave from the Sasquatch.
Right. Well, you know what's interesting, Ted, is the year 2016, I've had a handful of years of my own evolution of discovering Sasquatch and my own journey of you know, learning and experiencing. But something I began discovering, I think, Mike, I think it was 2015, late 2015, I began discovering Sasquatch stick structures.
Tell us about that. Tell us about that, Leanne, please.
So this actually coincided when Mike and I first became friends. I really got into my love of nature photography, and I started spending a lot of time in nature in very private areas, photographing birds and really connecting and feeling joy, and it was my happy place. And I kept stumbling upon these beautiful, complicated stick structures that it didn't appear to you know, be made by humans. There was no garbage, no tarps, no cigarette butts, or, you know, just really in obscure places, off paths, sometimes near paths, but, you know, visually stunning creations. And at the time, I thought, well, like most people, I think, I thought, kids, right? Kids make these. But I continued to stumble upon these through my love of being immersed in nature. And it was one time where I went to visit a location where I'd been spending a lot of time. And over a couple of days, a brand new structure showed up. Big, tall, complicated, beautiful. And I thought, is this what people call, you know, Sasquatch forts and Sasquatch structures? And I connected with Mike about it. And Mike, you remember that time I came and showed you those first few? And I think that was 2015, late or so. Mm-hmm. And it was at that time I began, Mike saw them and he compared them to the ones that he had been finding in his really sacred locations where he had some interaction with Sasquatch. I think, Mike, where you had your first vocals is where you showed me some of your structures.
Well, pardon me to interrupt, Leanne, but Mike, that picture you sent of me that's up on my website now at www.outofthisworld1150.com, was that in front of, is that, you're in front of a stick structure. Is that a Sasquatch house there you're in front of?
I'm convinced it is.
Okay.
Actually, Leanne knows where that one is.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, she's photographed that one herself.
Wow.
In fact, I think she probably pointed me out to that one.
I did show you that one. I made a video of that particular structure, and I can talk about that in a second. But what's interesting when you said 2016 is that I started searching out these structures. I was hooked into it. I was so passionately engaged in finding them, and it was almost like I was being pulled. I was being drawn towards these areas, these parks that I'd never been to before, never explored. I had to find my way in. Where are the paths and how do I get there? And every time I went out, I was finding these structures. So I was feeling the pull from my heart, from my chest, from my intuition. And I began photographing them really, my paradigm continued shifting, like, wow, what is happening? This is a real phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the year 2016 that things really opened up for me, and I was going back to locations where previously there hadn't been stick formations, and boom, they started popping up in these locations.
Wow.
And so I find that interesting that when you mentioned that, you know, Gaia was really waking up and that was a very important year, my gut has told me that these stick formations, which are showing up all over the world, there are people documenting these in so many countries and doing such a beautiful job. I really feel that there is an awakening, there's a momentum happening where they are coming out more and more. They are being built more and more right in front of people. And I think that they may serve many purposes. I don't know exactly what what the one is, but one might be to help wake people up, to help see the creative power of the earth and the transformative power of these structures, because what they ultimately do, I think, is that they cause people to talk. You know, even if most people walk by them and think, kids made them, maybe one in 100 people might walk by them and say, in question, I wonder who built that? Like, where does that come from?
Leanne,
that wasn't there last week.
Sure. Leanne, don't mind. Before we go any further, if you could describe to the audience, my listening audience, what they look like. It looked like a teepee in Mike's picture, kind of like a...
Yes. That one's a really big and beautiful one.
Uh-huh.
They vary in shapes and designs. If you'd like to go to my YouTube channel, there's a lot of variations there. Would you like my YouTube name?
Yes, please. If you could get that, that'd be great.
It's Southern Ontario Sasquatch Research.
Southern Ontario Sasquatch Research.
And I've made about 45 videos documenting different structures.
Oh, wonderful.
They vary from your classic teepee design where there's, you know, dozens and dozens of sticks leaned up around a tree in a circular formation, sometimes with an entrance, sometimes without. Sometimes they look a bit like the Sydney Opera House, freestanding, you know,
yeah.
A big opening at one end
uh-huh.
and tapered off, you know, like a tail mm-hmm. Behind it. Sometimes they are like a fort, more square. There's a lot of triangles involved as far as their construction. They're masterfully created. When you start to study them, you recognize the brilliance of thought that goes in behind every single one.
Amazing.
That they understand how wood behaves, how wood balances, the weight of wood. They know how things will sit and fit and stay together. A lot of structures have their the branches, the pieces of wood, have their bark removed. And I have heard somebody mention this before, and I believe it now that possibly one of the reasons is to help reduce the rot. You know, if the bark is on it, it may, you know, weaken the wood over time. So it's possible that that might be one of the reasons. Usually a lot of the smaller twigs and branches off the branches that are used are snapped off, so the wood is nice and smooth. And they're elaborate forts. So often you can go right inside of them and just kind of be, which is why I think many people think or assume that just kids create them. But I do believe in my heart and soul and over my experience that these are being created somehow by Sasquatch in order to help wake us up, to wake us up to their presence, to wake us up to their capabilities, to help us find each other, and connecting with people around the world who are finding these same structures popping up all over the place is profound. And I think that this is part of the Earth awakening that, like you mentioned, the Sasquatch are intimately a part of that awakening. And what is also interesting to me is that I'm finding these structures in locations where there's no hunting, there's no camping, fires aren't permitted. Mm-hmm. They're very sensitive ecosystems. They're protected areas. Boy Scouts don't go and learn mm-hmm. how to bushcraft here. Like they're just not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But what is thriving here is nature,
mm-hmm.
and I deeply feel that where nature thrives, Sasquatch thrive,
mm-hmm.
and where Sasquatch thrive, nature is full. Nature is bursting at the seams. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a symbiosis of energy and life force, and this is where I'm finding structures. In locations and forests that are very strong in its, you know, in its variety of wildlife and the diversity of wildlife and how they're protected. So, I'm sorry, I talked all over the place there.
No, wonderful to get your.
I think Leanne too also has probably the biggest documented collection of Sasquatch structures on the planet. Because every time she goes out, they just, you know, I found six more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Amazing. Leanne, well, when this happened, was that in September of 2016? Was there a specific month that things started changing for you?
Well, I can tell you that since 2016, locations where I found, you know, 2, 3, 4 structures, I've gone back over the year and a half, and those 2 to 4 structures have burst into like 12 to 14.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Like
that's
things
amazing.
Continue to be built, and they it's like there's more and more activity being shown all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I it's something that I'd just like to throw in here.
15, we've got to go in 15 seconds, but I just want to stop you there. I'm so sorry, Leanne, but please
that's
stay
okay.
on. We'll be having both of you and your friend John as well, if we can get a hold of him here in a few minutes. And
John's waiting.
Okay, please stay. Okay, great, Mike. Please stay tuned, my friends, to our next hour. We'll be starting in a few minutes, and I'll be bringing in President Kennedy for an important announcement in about 5 minutes. Thank you so much for listening.